You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
We issued a directive that the term illegal alien should not be used unless one is citing to the particular statutory language that exists, but we should refer to those individuals as non-citizens to reflect that their lawful presence or their unlawful presence in the United States does not define their dignity as individuals, but is separate and apart from that fundamental question.
Oh, my God. This is June 9th, 2021. Those are the words of our Department of Homeland Security Director, Secretary, Alejandro Mayorkas. He said, we're not going to use the term illegal alien unless we're referring to the law. Well, that's the whole point. That's the whole point. If they're here illegally, they are an illegal alien. But he wants to call them, here's the issue. He wants to push dignity for illegals ahead of U.S. security, ahead of security for Americans. I have no problem with showing people of any race or whatever the situation is, or even if they're facing some criminal charge, I'm willing to give and grant some dignity, depending upon the crime, obviously. But calling them illegal alien is a simple statement of fact. But that's not the way we're going to do things going forward with this Biden-Harris administration. The woke generation, the woke culture, they are charging up and down the aisle, changing anything and everything. You know that. You know it. But let me go back briefly, and I will tell you, I'm going to deal with Mayorkas more before we wrap up the next 2 hours. And I also have to tell you, God, I thought, the guy just so boring. But I put up with it. I sat through 45 minutes of a speech to find some pieces that I wanted to share with you. I deserve a medal for that. I deserve at least a Jack, a bottle of Jack, a couple of bottles of Jack. But let's get back to Mayorkas. And the Department of Homeland Security, let me verify for you. Here is the mission, as stated by the Department of Homeland Security. Vital mission. This is what they state on their page. Secure the nation from the many threats we face. Nothing in there about how we call people, so forth, so on. It wraps up by saying our duties of these 240,000 employees, wide-ranging, our goal is clear, keeping America safe. Da-da-da-da-da. Mayorkas adds, and treating illegals, whoop, whatever you want to call them, with dignity, while we ignore the security of our nation, which is their first mission. We're going to get into that in more detail. And, of course, VP Harris is now back from her trip down to the Northern Triangle, flew right over the top of our border, going 1,500 miles south to Guatemala, and then went to Mexico City yesterday and then returned. And here's a point. She admits she did not discuss a key point with the Mexican president. Mexico refuses to take back some migrant families when they are turned away from our border. She didn't raise that question with the Mexican president. That's a key thing she should have been talking to him about. Nope, didn't do it. All she said yesterday is to anyone think about coming, don't come. I believe you'll be turned back. I believe. In other words, this is not a clear policy for her either. We're going to be joined later by John Daniel Davidson, political editor at The Federalist. He wrote an interesting article down on the border, right in the midst of all of it, titled, basically, "The Whole World is Crossing the Rio Grande." You'll want to hear that interview. Biden is, of course, on his first foreign trip, already seems to be giving in to China. Can't wait to see what he gives Putin, in addition to opening up that pipeline for them. And the Democrats continue to war against women. Again, this is the woke culture You cannot call a woman a mother anymore. No. If she is a childbearing person, you cannot say she's a mother. I know. It's crazy. I agree. I'm going to share a listener email from Jackson Hole, Wyoming. He's raising some questions about wind turbines and pointing out, he says, if these facts are true, what the hell are we doing? Well, I'll have to ask that as well. And we have a story on cotton-picking students. Students supposedly ordered to go pick cotton. A couple of black students in particular. It's a lie all the way around. But here's what is a fact. The Hunter Biden laptop shows he uses the N-word often, and Joe Biden had to know about it. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you think disinfecting a home or office for COVID is way too expensive, I've got great news for you. Wellington Environmental can disinfect most homes for less than $300. I know you were thinking the cost would be two, three, maybe four times as much. Wellington can professionally disinfect most homes for less than $300. Cost for most offices, not much higher. You get the same professional treatment that Wellington provides hospitals and nursing homes. Also, Wellington is selling professional fogging devices. The cost, $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors and save $100. Here's a phone number to schedule Wellington to treat your home or office. 314-644-4930. I urge you to get on the schedule early. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Well, I started out with $1 gambled with a man and I won me another. Bought me a gun and I robbed my brother. I'm bad, but I don't care, boys. I'm gonna be a millionaire.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA. Waves.
I'm on an airboat with the Border Patrol Chief here, Austin Scaro. Chief, what are we seeing? Are they letting up at all, the migrants surge?
Well, so this morning you were with us. This area is called the 40 Main. This is the 40 Main Island, and you can see Mexico and the U.S. here. So this morning we had a group of about 50 or 60. We had another group of 30. We had 14 cross right here before we stopped the airboat. We had five cross after that, four after that, and now you can see another group here. So these folks are coming across whether we're here or not, but they just keep coming.
In this group we're looking at right now, we saw them take their shoes off. They appear to look like Haitians, which is what we've seen in the last hour. This sector is seeing not necessarily migrants from this northern triangle, but Haiti along with Venezuela and other countries.
Yes, sir. We've seen groups from people from 75 different countries so far this fiscal year. We've apprehended about 125,000 people so far this year compared to about 24,000 last year. Big numbers of Haitians and Cubans and Venezuelans, 12,000 or so Venezuelans so far this fiscal year, about 5,000 or 6,000 Cubans, Haitians. So many, many different countries.
That is a Border Patrol Del Rio Chief Agent Austin Scaro in a Fox News report. As you heard the reporter say, we're out here on an airboat. That's why you heard all the wind buffeting in the middle of the Rio Grande, watching people cross even as they're there. Even as they're there, they've already seen some cross. They see others getting ready to cross. They see some in the river. They're making their way across. And in some cases where they cross, it's deep enough that they've got to swim, at least to paddle at least a little bit before they can get back to some land somewhere on the way. They just keep coming. Now, yesterday, of course, we had our vice president say, do not come. Don't come. But then she added, I believe you will be set back. So what policy did they really hear? Did they hear do not come or I believe you'll be turned back or just basically the whole door is open? And as you heard, these are not necessarily from the Northern Triangle. The Border Del Rio chief agent pointing out we're seeing a lot of Haitians. And he said we're seeing them from numerous countries, many, many different countries. We have said this repeatedly. And that's the ones they stop. They actually can verify and check. We've already heard not only from Haiti and Cuba and elsewhere, but through the Middle East, Yemen, jihadists possibly coming in. Because the border is open, as far as they're concerned. And I don't care what VP Harris had to say yesterday when the bottom line is, come on over because we're not going to stop you. I believe you'll be turned back. And they want to blame all of this, all this recent surge upon climate issues, poverty, things of that nature. Yes, many are coming here for a better life. There's no doubt about that. They came from Europe decades ago for a better life here in America. We are the beacon on the hill, founded on Judeo-Christian base and also making sure we have freedom and liberty for all and recognizing and honoring people and their religion and their freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, peaceful. So yes, this would be better than where many of them are living economically. And we have legal immigration on a constant basis, 1 million plus every year, minimum, I think. But this is illegal, and the numbers are accelerating because Biden and Harris, when campaigning, were saying, yeah, we would not consider it a crime to come across our border illegally. In other words, to come across our border, violating our security, violating our laws. And yet here we had VP Harris yesterday say, do not come. If she really means that, she should be standing up saying today, all the cities and states, which would include her home state of California, where she was also attorney general for a period of time, no more sanctuary cities and states. They must stop now. But of course she has to be very careful here because she's already getting pushed back from the progressives. Before I get deeper into that, back to the Border Patrol Del Rio agent, Austin Scarrow, watching these folks cross the river. At a later point, the reporter asked him, said, you know, a lot of people see this and they say, why don't you jump in the river to stop them, and especially if you think they're smuggling drugs? Because we know in many cases they're bringing drugs across. We know in many cases they're bringing children that are not their children, that supposedly they are going to be linked with a family here in the U.S. that are blood relatives, but nobody is bothering to really check. We're going to hear Mayorkas, the head of Department of Homeland Security, at the next hour saying, well, we're in the process trying to bring everybody together. It's important to bring these kids to their families. Well, they're not really verifying it, and that scares the daylights out of me, and it should you, because how many children are we basically turning over to pedophiles or sex torture rings, enslaving these children for the rest of their lives? And many of those coming across as, quote, young adults and so forth, if they couldn't pay all their money then, they're going to be obligated to earn and pay money here or else. And about the drugs, well, the Border Patrol agent said, look, we have to worry about, he said, when you jump in the river and try to get somebody out, especially if you think they're carrying drugs, and if they also have a baby with them, they're going to drop the baby, let the baby go into the water, and then we've got to grab the baby. And so they're going to make their way across anyway. And he says, we have to worry about the safety of our own agents. He said, "We there are a lot of things we'd like to do, but we have to look at safety first. One, for those trying to cross the river, sometimes jumping in is going to make it worse. And secondly, if you try to stop some of them, they have a baby, they might let the baby go. Then the baby drowns. And they've had numerous drownings already. Again, the Border Del Rio chief agent, Scaro.
So far this year, we've rescued about 1,300 people. Sadly, though, we've lost about 49 to either exposure in the brush or to drownings. It's a very dangerous river to cross. People think that it's easy because they see people walking in ankle-deep water, yep. But you've got gravel bars and silt bottoms, and people yep. slip and people can drown.
And in fact, later we're going to have a conversation with John Daniel Davidson, political editor for The Federalist, who wrote, spent us an extensive amount of time along the border and watching these folks cross. And he said the whole world is crossing the Rio Grande pretty much right now. And again, the danger that exists there because of the drownings. People do drown in the Rio Grande, even if they think they can swim. And some can't swim to begin with. So, yeah, they had to kind of watch it and make a decision. And you heard the Border Patrol agent say, the Del Rio chief, we have already rescued, what do you say, more than 1,000. But we didn't rescue everyone. And then, of course, we don't know how many drowned elsewhere in the river as they try to cross some other location. And, of course, with that, we don't know how many got across with drugs and are smuggling children over to be turned over to pedophile rings. We don't know because we're stopping at some locations and trying to watch it, but the whole border, we don't have that wall. And if they figure they get across the Rio Grande, some of these open areas, they're going to make it. So, again, VP Harris, She admits that she did not talk to the Mexican president yesterday. She went to Guatemala first, talked about a $4 billion package from the U.S. government to the Northern Triangle countries to help improve their economy, as if all that money is going to get to those people that really need it, as opposed to the ones at the top that will take their cut and then some. And then she went to Mexico City pushing the same thing. But she did not discuss with the Mexican president, why aren't you going to take back families that we turned back if we actually turn some back? She admits, I didn't even discuss it. That was a major point she should have done. But she didn't do that. And she in an interview with Lester Holt, she tried to say, you can't expect everything's going to happen right away just because I went.
It's simply about understanding, if nothing else, that the return on our investment is the same return on your investment that if you have a neighbor on your block where you grew up who's having a hard time, it's in the best interest not only of your neighbor but yourself to help them out, right? And that's how we think about this work. What is the United States' interest in this? We're prepared to show up and do it in a way that is motivated by the best interest of diplomacy and democracy and goodwill.
So how quickly does this change what we see at the border?
There's not going to be a quick fix. We're not going to see an immediate return, but we're going to see progress. The real work is going to take time to manifest itself. Will it be worth it? Yes. Will it take some time? Yes.
Yeah, of course it is. And I will grant that. I will grant that anything they do is going to take some time. But they're going about it entirely the wrong way. They're just going to dump money down there. They already, when Trump was in office, he shut that money off because these Northern Triangle countries were not doing what they promised they would do, and is make sure that folks did not come out of their country going across the border into Mexico and then all the way up here. So now they're going to give all that money back in. They didn't even bother, she admits, didn't even have a discussion with the Mexican president if we're going to basically have any families we return back to Mexico, if they're going to take care of them. Didn't have that conversation. And, of course, visiting the border, oh, we're going to spend some more time on that in the next hour. We did it yesterday, and it's worth going again. But in the midst of this, she also has to look at response she's getting. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Congresswoman AOC, talking about that trip. And what we're doing and how we're handling those fleeing from Central and South America. Here's what AOC has to say, and I'm quoting. What we as a country, what the U.S. has not done is actually own up to the fact we have contributed to regime change, destabilization, interventionist foreign policy that has contributed to these awful conditions throughout Latin America. And the reason that it's a problem, this is not just U.S. supporting regime change. This is also, here it comes, stand back, here it comes. This is also climate policy that is impacting the global South disproportionately. My God. And she goes on to say farmers and folks in Central South America, they're dealing with climate change because of carbon emissions, so forth and so on. They are going to pull that out and shove it in your face every time. That's not going to solve anything. And then on top of that, of course, you as an American, you should feel guilty because you have contributed to the drug cartels and all the mass murders that happen and serial killings the cartels carry out, beheadings. You are responsible because you're an American, right? Well, you don't want to claim responsibility? Well, we're going to blame you anyway. But, of course, she also doesn't like VP Harris making that remark. Do not come. She said, this is against what we're trying to tell people to do. We're not being as welcoming. In other words, she did not like the fact that Harris said that. She went on, by the way, to say, and she admits that we are these people coming illegally when seeking asylum on our border. She said the Trump administration caged them. She even admits the Obama administration caged them. It was very much documented and inserted in many ways, one with many other inhumane policies as a deterrent to say, if we are cruel enough, maybe people will think twice before coming. She blames Obama for that too. Well, of course, now what we're doing is housing them in hotels across the nation. We're paying a company out of Texas $87 million on a no-bid contract to take care of all these illegals. In the meantime, Joe Biden on his first foreign trip, and he's already giving things to China.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
Mustang Sally. Guess you better slow up than Mustang down.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So President Biden is on his first foreign trip representing the U.S., and I'm sure he feels really special, and as he should, to arrive in a foreign country on Air Force One and step off Air Force One as the president of this nation. That is an honor. And I got to tell you, if you've ever seen Air Force One, it's impressive just watching it arrive. And I'm talking about in this country. You know, you take great pride in it. I hope you do anyway. But now Biden is off and running, and we're already seeing that he's giving. He signed an executive order today that revokes President Trump's ban on the Chinese-owned apps TikTok and WeChat. Trump ordered them shut down and to suspend them because there was fear and ties to foreign adversaries that might pose a risk to American data privacy or national security. So Trump blocked them. Those apps, TikTok, WeChat, Alipay, from U.S. app stores, took measures to prevent them from operating in the U.S., but they've been stalled by ongoing court challenges, so that's why they've been around. But now the Biden order will revoke the orders completely. So the court battles are over. It's done. TikTok and WeChat not immediately responding. But I know China is going to be really, really happy. Now, he's doing this because he wants to make nice with the Chinese and show that I can be conciliatory, I can work with you, and they love it. They absolutely love it. I mean, they look at what he's already done for Russia in advance of this meeting with Putin, saying, yeah, we will go ahead with your Nord Stream pipeline to Germany. We're not going to try to stop it. After he killed the pipeline, Keystone XL pipeline extension in the U.S., taking not only thousands of jobs immediately, and those would be coming with it, but also our reliance on our own energy, getting to the places where we need it. And yet here he is making sure that Germany and Europe is more beholden to Russia. I want to put this in context. So here's Biden doing this, and I'm looking at an analysis written by Stephen Collinson of CNN. This headline alone and some of his comments says if the CNN network is already making some comments about Biden and maybe some shortcomings, not so good. This would be equivalent to Johnson saying when Walter Cronkite said he's no longer supporting the war, that Johnson said we just lost everything if Cronkite won't support us. So here's CNN, the headline reading from Stephen Collins in his analysis. Joe Biden heads overseas as his prospects darken at home. He's talking about that Biden had a strong start to his presidency, the country awakening and so forth. He's restored decorum. He points out all those good things. But the reality of the 50-50 Senate, the ideological tension in the Democrat coalition, all of those things, and the bipartisan effort failing to forge an infrastructure deal so far, he's got problems and dark things here at home, and now he's going to these other countries. So he's not doing what he said he was going to try to do here. He's already dealing with liberal frustration, and I'm talking about the progressives, not his frustration. I'm glad to see them call him out. Do you think they're going to challenge him for any security leaks we have going forward? And China, we're not making China pay for the COVID. We're not doing anything about that. We're giving them rewards. John Daniel Davidson of The Federalist coming up next.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed, and at the same time, will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler's still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER. Or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER. Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
It got dark. We couldn't get to the body then. So we went out on the 18th of January to recover the remains. So Border Patrol brought it to our attention, and we're charged to investigate any death in the county. That individual was sent for an autopsy by the Webb County medical examiner in Laredo. That she was a Haitian lady, 33-year-old.
And she was pregnant?
She was pregnant with twins at term. So we're counting all three.
That is tragic, is it not? A Haitian pregnant woman trying to make her way across the Rio Grande Valley. That was Valverde County Sheriff Martinez. Said we've had 4 drownings last year, 9 since January 18. And he was talking to John Daniel Davidson, political editor with The Federalist, who's our guest. John, glad to have you on board again, sir.
Thanks for having me.
I'm looking at this piece that you did for The Federalist, and the title along, just the title itself is just, I wouldn't say it's mind-blowing, but it should be a great awakening. It points out that on a remote stretch of Texas borderland, the whole world is crossing the Rio Grande. Well, the Del Rio, Valverde County Sheriff, you just heard, said we're seeing Haitians and others come across. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, what I mean by the whole world is that, I mean, it's not just people from Mexico and Central America. In Valverde County, which is relatively remote, they're seeing large numbers of people from Venezuela, from Haiti, from Cuba, from Africa, even from Uzbekistan. that are crossing the river there and claiming asylum. So this isn't just a problem with Mexico and Central America. People are coming from all over the world to cross the border in South Texas and claim asylum. And the sheriff and the landowners and residents and Border Patrol agents that I spoke with in Del Rio, Texas, say that they've never seen anything like this there, ever.
Now, this area is about 150 miles west of San Antonio and has about 100 miles of border with Mexico. And as you said, they've never seen this happen before. And, of course, we have American citizens living on the land that they cross into, and sometimes those citizens are beginning to fear for their lives.
Yeah, that's right. I would say that the community in Del Rio is on edge. You know, a lot of people have lived there for generations, ranchers, landowners, and some of these landowners. I talked with one woman who owns a piece of property that's right on the riverfront, a beautiful piece of property on the Rio Grande that has become the favored spot for smugglers to bring groups of migrants. And she found out that her property was being used as a processing staging ground by Border Patrol from footage on Fox News. Like a lot of people, she doesn't live there year-round, but she saw her property and her house on the news, and her husband got to Del Rio as quick as they could to try to figure out what's going on. People are scared. Like I said, the numbers that are coming across, this is a small community, and they've never seen anything like this.
And it's pretty sparsely populated, so some of those out there, they're at their own risk. Most of them will have guns for protection, and many times the migrants pass through without threatening them, but they're certainly burglarizing, taking what they can, supplies and so forth, and are, in some cases, they are breaking into homes.
That's right. That's what the sheriff told us, and some of the other law enforcement officials that I spoke to. You know, they said high speed car chases have become common. You know, migrants who don't want to be apprehended, who aren't turning themselves in, broken fences, smashed gates. A couple of barns have burned down when migrants would start fires to keep warm, and just the whole building goes up. And like I said, you know, this is a small community. It's very remote, you know, vast expanses of ranch land. And the Border Patrol and Customs and Border Protection in Del Rio, they're not set up to process or house large numbers of migrants. And so what they started doing last month was just dropping off hundreds of migrants at a truck stop that doubles as a bus station in downtown Del Rio. And that got the attention of local residents, because you don't usually see groups of 300 or 400 or 500 people in downtown Del Rio for any reason, let alone at the bus station.
Yeah, you were talking about that. I mean, again, we're talking about Del Rio, which would be the largest city, as you point out, on the U.S. side of the Rio Grande, between El Paso and Laredo, 50,000 residents max, and only a couple Greyhound buses each week, only one commercial flight, and suddenly 300 are showing up at the bus station. Obviously, we either help them get there, or we're just turning our back to them and not watching them so they can go and get on a bus or plane and go wherever they can. Now, they don't have any ID. They don't have to show any ID to get on a plane now.
It's funny, because I talked to one woman who runs a migrant shelter in Del Rio. They're not licensed to keep people overnight, but they try to facilitate migrants that are released from federal custody and get them out of town to where they're going. And as you say, it's difficult to get out of town in this relatively remote place if you don't have a vehicle. But she told me that a lot of these migrants are not poor. They have passports. They have money. They pay for their own bus fare or airfare. They know where they're going. And that she said a lot of them have been thinking about taking this trip for a long time, that they're bringing their resources with them.
In fact, you said some of them even have smartphones. I mean, they come prepared if they can get across, and how much they pay to get here. And then again, if they're really just coming to have a better life, or if they have some other agenda in mind.
Yeah, that's the thing about Vice President Kamala Harris's trip to Guatemala and Mexico, in this sort of ridiculous argument that she's trying to get to the root causes of the border crisis. The root cause of the border crisis is that the Biden administration is letting people in. And so people are coming from all over the world, There's many countries that suffer from poverty and corruption. And of course, the Central American countries, Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, they've always suffered from poverty and corruption. Are we supposed to wait until there's no poverty and corruption in the world before we secure the border?
You're listening to John Daniel Davidson, political editor for the Federalist. And John, I'm going to have to discipline you here, because AOC says that we're responsible for what's happened down in the Northern Triangle in Mexico, and climate change. She and Biden and Harris all agree climate change to blame. So you're just making stuff up that it's poor and it has to do with economic situations and drugs and cartels and child smuggling.
Yeah, right. The United States is the only actor in the world. Nobody else has any agency. That's something that the left always argues, and I think it's really condescending and kind of belittles people in other parts of the world who can think for themselves, who can make decisions in their own best interest, who understand when it's worth making the trip over the border and when it's not. And when they broadcast, when the Democratic Party and President Biden broadcast to the world that if you can get over the Rio Grande, you can stay, that's why people are making the decision to come now.
Your Val Verde County Sheriff Martinez, you pointed out in the article that he is a, quote, self-described proud Democrat.
That's right. A lot of people in South Texas are proud Democrats and have been for many generations. Sheriff Martinez, like most people in Val Verde County, is Hispanic, votes Democratic, but he said that he doesn't agree with one bit what's going on the border and with the Biden administration's policies. And he was very clear that, you know, from his perspective, this is happening because the Biden administration is letting people in. And he feels, and a lot of law enforcement folks there feel, that they have kind of been left on their own to solve this problem as best they can, and that the administration has no plan and no answers.
Well, the governor of Texas, Abbott, does have a plan, and you talk to people on the border as to what the plan is and how effective it may or may not be. What are you hearing back?
Well, Governor Abbott had announced last week that he was going to start charging everyone who crosses the border with aggravated trespass and incarcerating them. And that sounds tough, and it sounds, you know, like he's taking action. But what I was told by law enforcement folks in South Texas is that there's not room to keep these people incarcerated. You're talking about thousands and thousands of people. There simply isn't enough room in the jails, either the state jails or the federal prison system, to house that many migrants. And so they're facing, you know, that, like Sheriff Martinez said, you know, his response to Abbott's proposal is, where are you going to put all those people? You know, we're talking about thousands and thousands of people, not hundreds, tens of thousands. You know, the number of people that have been apprehended in the Del Rio sector this year is 119,000 people. You can't incarcerate that many people.
But they didn't have those numbers before Biden came in and, with a stroke of the pen, killed Trump's remain in Mexico policy. And now they're talking about putting more money into the Northern Triangles, if that money's going to get to the people and really change their lives. It's just throwing money at it, which isn't going to solve it. And you quote a county commissioner in that area that says, somebody's going to end up getting shot. We're sitting on a powder keg, just a matter of where it all blows up.
That's right. People are worried. And that county commissioner was trying to convey to me the level of rising tension. You know, people see folks crossing their property. They don't know who they are. They don't know if they're just passing through peacefully or if they're hauling drugs. There have been groups of men apprehended on these ranch lands that are dressed in camouflage that are hauling drugs. And so people are afraid. People are afraid, and tensions are rising, and no one is coming to help.
John, I want to thank you again for your time. An excellent article. It's in The Federalist, John Daniel Davidson's piece, The Whole World is Crossing the Rio Grande. John, thanks again for your time, sir.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Coming up, magazine editor doesn't want to hire Ivy League.
Waking around the fire, I want a little rain or water. that you won't let Jimmy start a big boy thing. Can't you hear me when I call?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So one of my listeners, Bob, resides in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And I don't know if he's there when he sent this email, but he's raising a question and passing along an email that's circulating regarding the value or zero value of wind turbines and the cost that goes with them. Speaking of wind turbines, before we go in deeper, you are aware, of course, that when the plan was, even in the John Kerry and Obama days, when they were saying, oh, yeah, wind turbines, we're going to do more of those. And they had talked about putting some off Martha's Vineyard, that hotty-totty area where the Obamas and the Clintons and all, and the Bushes and others all have nice homes. That's fine. But they said, no. You'll ruin our view. We're not going to have those off Martha's Vineyard. Put them somebody else's backyard. You know how that goes. Well, now apparently they're going to go ahead and they're going to put up about 80 plus turbines, but they're going to be something like 15 miles off Martha's Vineyard. So they won't really be seen that easily, even though they're massive. They'll look like maybe a boat in the distance. In other words, it won't ruin their view. It won't be within 3-5 miles that they were concerned about. It was going to ruin our view. We paid a lot of money for these homes. Oh, you have a place near the ocean? Well, if you're not a Martha's Vineyard person, you just have to live with what we put up on your land or just off the coast. You know that. So here comes this letter from Bob, and he says, I don't know of all these facts. He said, but it would not make the carbon counters happy. He's looking at all these wind farms. He said, right, this again, he's passing along an email that's circulating all over right now. The average wind farm, and I have not checked out the facts on it, but I just want to share it with you. The average wind farm, 150 turbines, each needs 80 gallons of oil as a lubricant. And that's a synthetic oil based on, guess what, crude. That's going to be 12,000 gallons. The oil needs to be replaced once a year. 3,800 turbines needed to power the city the size of New York. That'd be 304,000 gallons of refined oil just for New York City. Then you multiply it across other cities. This is clean energy, right? Yeah, you didn't know that they need oil as a lubricant? They still need fossil fuel. Each turbine, a footprint of 1.5 acres. So to put 150 up, you need to take 225 acres. You need 57,000 acres of turbines to power New York City. And the lifespan of these turbines, about 20 years. What happens to those big blades? Well, they can't be reused, refurbished, reduced, repurposed, recycled. So they go off into landfills. These are 120 to 200 feet long, three per turbine. And we do know, and the statement here is 500,000 birds are killed each year by these things, which I have no doubt. Hawks, falcons, owls, geese, ducks, eagles, many of them endangered. This is going to be better for us, right? Bob, thanks for bringing that to my attention. It's worth sharing with everyone because it's the same thing with the electric cars. We got all the left saying, well, we're going to do electric cars. Everybody have electric car. Where are you going to get the electricity? Do you know how we create electricity? You could have a nuclear plant. You could have a hydroelectric plant on a river. But generally, you're going to need to do the whole nation. You're going to need fossil fuels, the very jobs you're trying to shut down and get rid of. There's a lot of intelligence out there right now, right? There's a magazine editor that's talking about, I used to hire Ivy League grads, but I'm at the point now that I just won't do it. He said, I'd say 10 years ago, I'd seen that as a big positive. They came out of an Ivy League school. You know, one of the big schools, Yale, Harvard, Princeton, so forth. He said, now I see it as a negative. Because there are a lot of kids all over in higher education, different schools, and maybe they want to work more because too many of these Ivy League come because they have a sense of entitlement and arrogance. Now, I know some are saying, well, they're all white. No, they're not all white. But the bottom line is, they're coming out of an Ivy League, your daddy or mommy paid for it, and you might as well act like you're a little arrogant. Now, I am entitled. Or if you paid your own way, well, then maybe you did pretty well. But here's what the editor says. Many times, well, how are they want to write the lead editorial on day one rather than proofread. So, well, I like your ambition. That's good. He said, but now I see some of these young people, they just have a distorted view of reality. He wrote an op-ed titled, Why I Stopped Hiring Ivy League Graduates. He said, these kids coming out of Harvard, Princeton, and so forth, they're unappealing to co-workers. He said, in recent years, I've taken stock of my assumptions about who makes for the best entry-level employees. I have no doubt Ivy League universities attract smart, talented, ambitious kids. But do the institutions, big question here, do the institutions add value? And he continues, my answer is increasingly negative. Dysfunctional kids coddled, encouraged to nurture grievances. Normal kids attacked, educationally abused. He said, listening to one all-college Zoom meeting made it clear that today's elite students are not going to schools led by courageous adults. They're deprived of good role models. They're less likely to mature into good leaders themselves. That doesn't mean everyone coming out of an Ivy League school or any other school is like that, but many are. And here's a shocking thing. Think about this. How would these kids have reacted if they had to face what our kids did in World War II? You'd be speaking German or Japanese for sure, wouldn't you? Coming up in the next hour, students forced to pick cotton, it's a lie. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.